the ones that I've met since then, and even I went out and me and Brother Bill went out and we visited some of the people. You know, there's a whole lot of them I have, there's a whole lot of them I hear that we have visited. I like to see them back in church. I know some not in church. Majority, all of them that we visited, I don't think any of them's in church. But, which, and like I say, I hadn't done no visiting this year. But I have called the people. Some I've been in touch with, and some I haven't. And it's the ones that I hadn't, I don't think they may won't even hear my voice or even talk to them. I don't know. But I don't know. But I do know this. It's a whole lot of my head. And a whole lot more needs the Lord. People need to be in church. The family members, the ones that have children, they the ones really need church. They need to be in church to where they teach the children how to behave. And I think the church teaches that. And when the parents come out to the, come to church, and they got the little small ones with them or the children with them and everything, and they won't allow them to, just start talking out, But, they just tell them, you don't speak out in church. You can whisper. But then I know it's hard to get this little small one to, the 2 to 3 and 4 year old, get them to where they can just, I don't know. I tell you, the children that we can get in church, that's what we need to do, because if nothing else, that will help us. That helps us to stay young. And when we have them in church, and they, in the way you stay young is not just sitting down and letting a child run all over the church, but chasing a child down. And I know that's in the past. The parents don't want to bring them to church no more, and I don't know why, but I tell you what, they are missing out. Because if we don't do what we can try to get them in church and get the young people, the children in church, whether they're saved or not, and get them in church where they can learn, and then they can learn about the God and learn about the church and everything and learn about salvation, and then they get saved, then that's who you need the church to. Because see, I'm not going to be here forever. You're not either. Not unless the Lord comes back before we, before all our time comes. Because it ain't but the ain't but 7 or 8 of us here, and it don't take but 8 people that's gone when the 8 people in this church, when it goes, what's going to happen? You're going to have somebody else come in and take care of the church and open it up as a church and allow God's word to be preached in here? Or is it going to end up being a beer joint? Now, I don't know if any of y'all have, I know everybody here has heard of it. It's Billy Sunday. Now, Billy Sunday, they say he used to come in this area back in the 30s and the 40s and the early 50s. He'd come in this area and he would bring revival. And he would bring it because God would allow him to bring it. And he preached. What he preached then, you would not even have a church door even open today. Because the people, they couldn't listen to that. I mean, he was a man that was and he don't mind telling it too, and it's a testimony and everything, that he was a flat-out drunk. And after he got saved, he told people that. Now, we had a pastor here in town, which he's dead and gone now. But his name was, what was the preacher's name that was up there, Sherman Baptist Church. He was up there when the church up there caught on fire. And I tell you one thing, when he come visit you, or you went to see him, he wouldn't talk to you over 2 or 3 minutes. And then he would start getting in his testimony. And he'd tell the people, he says, I wasn't no alcoholic. And I didn't drink beer. And I didn't drink whiskey. I was a flat-eyed drunk roaming the streets of Danville. And he's the one that I went to, and I visited him at his church and asked him, would he go to the hospital and visit my stepfather at the time, because my stepfather wasn't saved when he went to the hospital.
Johnny Hall was his last name.
Huh?
Hall?
Yeah, Hall. Curtis Hall.
Curtis Hall.
And I know probably some of y'all remember him and everything, but he was a man that just told you like it was. And he was the pastor up at Sherman Baptist Church for I don't know how long. But that day I asked him would he go to the hospital to visit my stepfather. Because I talked to my stepfather, and I told him it about me being saved and how I got saved. And when I went up there that night, my pastor at the time was Billy Scarce, and Brother Billy Scarce went with me up to his house next door where I live at now. Because I told Brother Billy, I said, Brother Billy, I says, I've talked to him. But it seems like it goes in one ear and out the other. And I says, I just don't want him to die and go to hell. I says, I ain't looking at my own life anymore. I'm looking at him. It ain't about me no more. It's not about my life. And it's not about my salvation. But it's all about him today. I want to see him saved. Because once you're saved, you cannot get unsaved. He said, you're exactly right, what Brother Billy Scarce said, was telling me. And he said, you know, with that in mind, I will go out there with you. He said, I need to go somewhere else tonight, but I'm going to just call. my office and tell them that I cannot come tonight, but I'm gonna go with you. He was in the military, Brother Billy was. He was in the National Guards. And he stayed there on his job about 30 years. And the people in the armed forces, in the National Guard, everybody knew him from Washington all the way to Florida, all across the country, they knew him. And when they heard that he was coming to their town to meet with the officers of that platoon and everything, because see, he was a captain, and he was a general at that time, and he did not go around tooting his horn. He didn't go to any of the bases when he went in and when they had the meetings and everything. They didn't know who he was, because he didn't go in tooting his horn that I'm the general. I'm a four-star general. He didn't toot his horn like that. He first of all would tell the platoon that he was looking over and speaking to that day, and even the officers, even the generals was there over the base and everything. He will tell them all, here's the first thing I want to tell you, that I'm a Christian, and I know Jesus Christ is my personal Savior, and I don't have to worry about nothing else. The only thing that I worry about is you and your life. And he went around and he told them all that. And that's what he was telling me when we were going to see my stepfather. I had no idea. I wouldn't even bring his name up. But see, Brother Billy, he wasn't just a man. He didn't end up just being a five-star general, because that's what he retired with, a five-star general. And he did not toot his horn. There's too many people today, too many Christians, says they're Christians, says they're saved by God, they come to church, and the first thing you know, then they toot the horn. They'll tell people what they've done that week. We should not have to tell no one what we've done that week. We should not have to tell no one that we went out and visited people that week. Or we went out and called somebody, invited them to church. We should not have to do that. And we should not do that. You know what we should do? Give the people our testimony. How much we love God. Because God loved us before I was ever introduced to him. Over in John chapter 15 and verse 30, I think it is. And I'm going to turn there and read it, because I'm scared if I don't, I'm going to end up messing it up. And if I mess this verse up, I need to be ashamed of myself. chapter 15 in the book of John. It says right here in verse, I'm going to start with verse 9. I'm going to read in the 14. Verse 9 in the book of John, chapter 15. And it says, As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. That's not speaking of me loving you, but that's speaking of the Father loving His Son, Jesus Christ. And it also says that where after the Father has spoke to him, it says, so I have loved you, can't continue ye in my love. That's speaking of Jesus Christ. When the Father told him that he loved his Son, then he allows his Son to come back and be a witness and give a testimony that I love me, so I have loved you, continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandment, and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another. The Father is speaking to the Son, and the Son's already spoke back to the Father and told the Father, I love you also. Now, the Father and the Son both is telling me and you, we need to go out and we need to love one another. He didn't say love the Christian. He didn't say love the sinner. He said, love one another. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friend. Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. The Father speaking about love. The Son is also telling the Father that he loves him. And not only the Father and the Son is communicating together, but then they start communicating to us. When he tells me, he says, Donnie, you remember when back in 79, when you was out here running the highways on the weekend, when you was going up at Skylark on 86, when you was up there hanging around with your buddies, and you was out here drinking alcohol and beer and all of that, you remember that? And I say, yes, I remember all of that. See, it's some things we can forget about it. It's always there. It's always there in the back of our mind when the Father can bring it up. And the Father brings it up to let us know where we come from. Now, if the Father had said, Donnie, you're saved today. I look on you where you've never sinned before. No sin has ever been upon you at all. Yeah, he can tell me that. But if he told me that, where I did not remember any of the sins before, why would I need to come to church? Some people today is that way. They're looking, I don't need the church. It's nothing wrong with me. See, what we need to do, we need to give them our testimony, and our testimony will bring them to the knowledge that they are lost. That they're not going nowhere in the shape that they're in. In the shape that they're in, they can go ahead and have a wreck. They can kill themselves. They can kill the family. And be separated from the family for the rest of their life. And they can be separated from God. For eternity. I don't want to be separated from my family for eternity. What are you talking about being separated from your family for eternity? Well, in salvation, the salvation of God that touches the individual's heart is that they're going to live with the Lord and with the Father and with the family that's gone on before them that are saved. They're going to live with them for eternity. They're going to be right there in contact with each other for eternity. And I know that as far as the Bible is concerned and where the Bible reads and everything, that we are the bride of Christ. We're His bride. And He is the bridegroom. The only marriage that's going to take place there in heaven is the marriage of the bride and the bridegroom when we enter into heaven. Yes, we are married here on earth. We are married to our spouse. I'm married to Shelby for eternity down here. But when I enter in to the kingdom of God, and when she enters into the kingdom of God, and we may both enter at the same time, we ceased to be married there in heaven. Because even the Lord God Almighty pinned it down here in the book that the husband cannot be married but for one to one wife, for one bride. See, we make up the body. When we all get to heaven with the Lord Jesus Christ being there and His Father being there, and then the Holy Spirit will go there with us because the Holy Spirit will be ceased to be known here on this earth after the rapture takes place. Wait a minute. Don't it say in the book of Revelation that some will get saved during the first tribulation? Yes, it does. But it's the Holy Spirit is still not on the scene with anyone. The Father and His Son takes their mercy and lays it on them that will confess it them. They still have got to confess to the Father and to the Son. Ask me to explain that. Well, that gets a little too deep for me. It's in the Bible. What's in the Bible, I believe it. Whatever word is in the Bible, I believe it's the truth. There's not a lie in here. The only thing about a lie, the word lie, does enter in the scripture here. Where he tells over there, I think it's in the book of James, where he tells that the Son and the Father cannot lie and will not lie. They will not lie for you to get saved. They did not lie to where I could get saved, because you can never get saved by a lie. Because you know yourself, and you probably know somebody. I used to work with a man. He would give the shirt off of his back for you. And if he had any money on him or his billfold, if you needed every dime he had, he would give you every dime that he had. And I know that to be the truth, because I've seen him do it. Matter of fact, I've been to him plenty of times at the time, and I asked him, I said, "Well, Buck, would you mind loaning me $40? He'd take his billfold out, give me either 20 and 2 tens or 5s. And he says, I said, "I'll give it back to you. I'll give you back some of it this week, and I'll give you the rest of that week when I get paid." He said, "You don't worry about that. Don't worry about that. I know you'll give it back. I don't have no problem with that." And the same with him speaking to me like that, in the same breath, he would be speaking to somebody about somebody else. And what he would be saying about them, you knew it was a lie. You knew it was. That's the way it was. He had lied so much. Like some people say, "Well, if you lie one time, you're going to have to lie again to cover up your first one. And then when you cover up that first one, then you've got the second one that you're going to have to end up lying for. Because they go, you're going to have something to cover that one up also." But he would give you the shirt off of his back. And if it's during the winter time, snowing, raining outside, ice falling down from the sky, he would leave work that day and would not even have a shirt on his back, because he gave it to somebody. I've seen him time and time again to give individuals that come in with buying parts for the vehicle, and they come up and find out the price of that part, and they would end up lacking $5. I've seen him take his billfold out and say, "Don't worry about that. Donnie, go Going to finish the ticket up. I got the rest of it. I've even seen him take his name and go to the owner of the company, Mr. J.W. Carpenter. And I said, now, he would say, J.D., I've got a bill coming through. It's got my name at the bottom of it where I signed it. But at the top of the invoice, it has another individual's name up there. It has their address. It has their phone number. But my name is at the bottom of this invoice, because I'm going to pay this bill. They don't have to pay. I have actually seen an elderly man and his wife come into Motor Parts and Equipment on Riverside Drive. And as they come in, they didn't make it all the way in to where they could park. They coasted in to the driveway, and they just didn't make it off the road. They come in. And the man, he asks one of the countermen, could he use the phone? They said yes. At that time, it was four countermen on the counter selling parts. I was one of them. Lemuel Buck was one, and Mike, I can't think of his name now. Yeah, Mike Bray, he was the other one. And then the one that was over the counter, which was Robert Roberts. He ended up owning the parts place. He didn't have no money. He couldn't even afford to buy his son an automobile. He didn't have the credit. But he ended up with the company, because the former owner of it, he worked for him. The former owner of it, when he retired and he wanted to give up the parts business, the parts place, he went to him, and his name was Dr. Melnick. And he went to Robert Roberts and asked him, he says, I'm going to retire this summer. In retiring, I am going to retire from my practice, and I want to sell the business down here, because I want to go back to my home, where I was born and raised at. Where I was born at, he was born in Israel. But he was going to be by 2 years before he get everything together where he could go back to Israel. And he went to Robert Roberts. He was the only one that really was in charge of the business, because Dr. Melnick, he knew anything about the parts business. And Brother Bill, you know how much and how well you got to be learned in the parts business. And this was in the 80s. But today, I mean, the only thing we don't have mechanics out there anymore. They are called parts replacement, because it's all it can do is replace the parts on a vehicle, because they can't go in and work on them. They can't go in there, and they don't have the knowledge for all these computers that's on the vehicles today. So he asked John and asked him. Everybody called him Big John, Robert Roberts. He said, Big John, he says, I'm going to sell a business, and I want to give you first opportunity. He said, me? He said, you know I ain't got no money to even think about even wanting a business. I mean, if a bank could loan me 99.9% of everything that have to be paid for, I'd quit on it. Because I don't have that much to even pay the 1% down. I can't do it. He said, well, okay. The owner of the company, Dr. Melnick, went back home. He didn't call nobody else. He didn't tell nobody else that he was going to close his office and retire. He didn't tell nobody else he was going to sell a business. So Robert, Big John, he didn't know what he was going to do, really, because he didn't say it. To him, he said, I don't know what I'm going to do now. Dr. Melnick went home that afternoon. Robert Roberts, he was a man that loved the Lord, which Dr. Melnick, he didn't know the Lord because he was a Jew. And he was a devout Jew. The devout Jews, they don't look at Jesus where he's already come. They don't look at Jesus today as a Savior, as a Messiah. They don't look at him like that. They look at him as just a man. So, Dr. Melnick called Robert the next day, and he asked him, he says, I want you to meet me this Saturday at 12 o'clock. And I didn't know if you were going to be working or not, but I want you to meet me at 12 o'clock. I want you to meet me down here at Western Sizzling. And they did. They went down there. Dr. Melnick went home himself where he went to see Robert Roberts during the day of that day, which was 2 days before. He went home and he wrote it down himself, what he was going to do with all his money, all his savings, the business, and he had a separate one there for his practice. Now, Robert didn't tell me this. Somebody else told me this, that he gives his practice away. He didn't sell it. He gave his practice away. And he was over where the kidney doctors and everything. He was one of the kidney doctors over there. Right there on Main and South Main, Main and West Main Street right there. And don't ask me why I'm going this way. I don't know, but it's just, it was, well, I reckon the reason that I'm going this way is because when I went to bed last night and I got to thinking about dreams and I got to thinking about that vision where people that doesn't have a vision, they lose everything they ever had. Robert Roberts, he was always thinking, and he wanted his own business, his own parts business. And at that time, they had three stores in town. And he was hoping that maybe he could own one of them, which the other two stores were smaller than the one they had on Roadside Drive. But he was always looking and always wanting to own his own business. But I don't know why, but Robert Roberts, I reckon he had a gift, I reckon he was. Because he could attract people to his business and to the business where he was at. People always followed him wherever he went. And that was the reason that he wanted his own business. He knew he could take that business and he could do something with it, and it would grow. People would come in that area where he would be at, would come and buy the parts at his place of business. Basically, what I'm saying, he was a dreamer. We know in the Bible that there was many individuals in the Bible that spoke of dreams. There was individuals there in the book of Daniel where they dreamed. In the book of Genesis, you have them there where they dreamed. And it wasn't a dream of a magnitude that they was going to take advantage of somebody. No, they was dreaming about what God wanted them to do and how God was going to bless them. That's what they were dreaming for. That's the same thing as what he had written over in the book of Proverbs, chapter 29 and verse 18, I believe it is, or 13, where he's talking about that vision. He's talking about the vision, and he's talking about the dream, that if we dream good things, and if we dream in what God wants us to do, it will always come to pass. It did in the Bible. There was dreamers there. always comes past. But when Lucifer, before he was threw out of heaven, he wasn't dreaming the good things about what he could do there in heaven and the way he could help the Father accomplish what his Father was doing. He wasn't dreaming the good thoughts. He was dreaming about what he could get and the way he could get it. We have a whole lot of people today the same way. They're that type of dreamers. They dreamers, and they have a vision in getting what they want at the cost. They didn't care what it cost. They didn't realize that what they was doing, that what they was going to do, and what they was dreaming about for their own selves, that it was going to end up breaking up a family. They didn't care. They didn't care if they had part in that or not. Now, I don't know if y'all... Now, Lord, just give me this. The Holy Spirit just give it to me to remind you. I don't know if y'all saw it or not or even heard anything about it. I think it was Thursday. When they was talking to about Trump and the way that he was crucified and the way he was persecuted and everything. But then they had people there also that were saying all the good things about what he's done for the country. And we had the governor of the good old state of Virginia. He gave his opinion there. And they, I think it was the first part of the week or last week or when it was, but they had it on the news station. They had the governor of the state of Virginia at his podium and his microphone. And he had the people that were surrounded him and had people standing in front of him there in Richmond. And he was talking about some of the laws that's been passed. One of the laws that he's trying to get passed, and I thought it was passed, but it's not. It hasn't, but they say that it looks like it's a good chance it's going to be passed. And that's when a birth of a child, when the birth of a child come forth, that the law of the land in the state of Virginia had the law on their side, the abortion people. They're not talking about aborting a child when a child don't have no breath. They didn't even bring that abortion up. But they brought up that for the women, the ladies, and he was speaking about the young people. And I don't see how he could do that, but he did. Speaking about them, for what they can do for their child. If that mother, if that teenage mother does not want that child, before that child is put on the welfare in the state of Virginia. That the state of Virginia, up until so many days after that child has been brought forth, and that child has took the first breath, then opened the eyes, and looking around, he's trying to get a law passed that child can be done away with. Can actually, the mother can give the okay for that child to be done away with. Well, first of all, he has no right for that. He is not my governor. And there's a whole lot of people that says the same thing. That he's not my governor because he's not going to tell my daughter that she has the right, she has the law on her side, to where she can have that baby murdered. Because that child, if she said, my child, by the law of the land, can be brought up with murder. And then, at the same breath, it won't 5 minutes later, he come back. And I'm going to close with this. And this is going to tell you what kind of governor we have. We don't have no governor. What we have is a dictator and the governor of the state of Virginia. See, the thing about the state of Virginia is just like California. Just like up in Maryland. Just like the other states that are around. To where their sanctuary city. Their sanctuary states. So, in the state of Virginia, we can have an illegal come from all the way from Honduras and everything, and come across the ocean, come through the state of Florida, come through the state of Georgia, through the state of South Carolina, through the state of North Carolina, and then enter into the state of Virginia, and they have all the rights. They have the welfare program. They are allowed so much a month. Our own citizens don't get some of the things that they get. And this governor, he said this. He said, it is on the books in the state of Virginia. It is law, and we're going by what the book says. We're going by the law of the land. The law has not been overturned or passed, then we will be defying the law. But this law has never been overturned, never has. It has never ever been forced. It has never been enforced. It has never been forced by the state to do anything about it. You know what it is? a man and a woman, if they married, if that lady, if she's married to another man, and it's a man that she's checking up with, if he's married to another lady, and then if they're caught up, if they've been caught in adultery, that they will be brought up on charges and they will be prosecuted. That's what the governor said. Now I'll go along with him on that. It's the law of the land. It's the law in the state of Virginia. If he's going to keep that law, he don't need to have the people coming from across the waters over and coming to the state of Virginia, going through 5 or 10 states and everything like that to come to the state of Virginia and then take our money that we have worked so hard for, that our parents and our grandparents has worked the skin, has worked the fingers all the way down to the bone. What do we have? We don't have no moral standard no more. They don't even know what the word. They will take the moral standards and say, hey, yeah, the moral standard is for this right here, and this is moral. This is uncalled for. And then they bring up the moral of the morale and all of that. But then somebody else will speak to them in the other ear. I know it sounds good, slow in the books, but we can do it this way. We can do it that way, and we can get by with it. They try their very best to do away with the Republicans. They are trying their very best to do away with the republic in which we stand. In which we stand. Father, we thank you, Lord Jesus, for this day. And Lord, I do thank you, Father, for just giving me, Father, what you asked me to speak about this morning. And Father, I know that it seemed like maybe I strayed away. But Father, if I did, and if I did by what the people may think, I just heard that small, still voice. That we need to look and we need to examine our own selves. We need to examine the life that we live. We need to examine our standards. We need to examine our testimonies. Which testimony do we have? Do we have the testimony of man? Or do we have the testimony that we have in you, Father? And Father, I ask you now that you go with us this week. Father, the ones that has to go into work, to a job, I pray, Lord Jesus, you'll give them strength. You'll touch their health, Father. And Father, that they'll have a good week. And Father, each and every time that one of us this week, if we just sitting still, if we have an idle mind, Lord, help us, Father, to get out of that state that we're in. Because if we have an idle mind, we're thinking about some of the things that the devil has had us do lately. Or maybe some things that the devil had us to do a long time ago. But Father, please bring us all together. Help us, Father, that we may have a testimony that the people that we come around, Father, they can say something different about their walk. I would like to see and I would like to hear their testimony. What kind of testimony do they have? What kind of testimony do you have? And what kind of testimony do I? Father, we thank you. And Lord, help us this day, Father, to go through the rest of this day, Father, that we may pray for people, we may pray for one another, and we definitely need to pray for the young people. We definitely need to pray for the families of the young people. And Father, help us that we can live that life before our children, before our grandchildren, before our friends, and who else that we meet. That they know and they can see a testimony that they would love to have. Father, the only reason I have a testimony is because of you. Father, we thank you. Lord Jesus, we love you. Amen and amen.